Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
LA, do not miss the upcoming Steel Wars Live podcast, May the 26th. Make sure you have your tickets for our solo reaction panel at the Scum and Villainy Cantina in Hollywood, California. The Saturday after the release of the solo standalone film, we'll be breaking it down. Tickets are available at steelwars.com/live. Just check the link in your show notes.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, you guys, welcome to the Steel Wars call-in show. I am comedian Steel Saunders, and I do love Star Wars. And that was our new little Mendo-sized theme music that Eric Struthers remixed with Paul Dempsey's music into a sweet little tune. So if you're from Australia, that's pretty prestigious that your theme music for your silly Star Wars podcast is a combo of Ben Mendelsohn and Paul Dempsey. It's not bad. It's not bad at all. I am waiting for my co-host tonight, our surprise co-host, who I think I have got on the line from Columbus, Ohio. It is the royal one, King Tom. How are you doing, Tom?
I'm doing pretty good, Steele. How are you? And thanks for getting my location and everything else right this week.
Well, the fact that I've been there helps, you know?
Yeah.
I get
yes, you've,
it.
You've
I
had it. you've had our White Castle and our micro brews and all of that stuff.
Yeah, I'll take the micro brews over the White Castle, my man. Definitely. But we are here on the day after the Star Wars Rebels finale, and I've been pretty tight-lipped with my opinion. We've got a poll up the moment, and that I'd like all the callers to think about where this would fit in. Tom, you can tell me where you fit in on this. The Star Wars Rebels finale was perfect, satisfying, disappointing, or I'm furious. Which one did you vote for, Tom?
I voted for perfect.
Perfect!
Because for the show itself, it was a perfect ending to this chapter, or this part of the Star Wars saga. It wrapped up the story. It had pretty much all of the main characters and events that were featured throughout the four seasons. It brought the characters to there, and the whole struggle of the liberation of Lothal to a good conclusion. So in that sense, it was like the classic TV series finale.
Yeah, almost like that Seinfeld one where absolutely everyone came back.
Oh, yeah. I thought everyone was used a little bit better here than in the Seinfeld one. But yes, just like
how
that.
How dare you? I actually...
Well,
It's kind of frowned upon, that finale, but I actually loved it. I thought it was a really cool way just to wrap it up, sort of by saying, mm-hmm. How are we going to wrap this up? Like, let's just do something. Like, it was sort of unwrappable in a normal way.
It was. Although I think somewhere in hyperspace right now, Thrawn is telling Ezra that button on his shirt is too high.
I like that a lot. Well, I voted satisfying. I was satisfied. Okay. And
good.
As I sort of went into this half season, I didn't have high hopes because I thought the mysticism might lose me and the vague ending, which I predicted might lose me. So mm-hmm. I sort of just went in to go, I'm just going to enjoy the things that I'm going to enjoy and we'll just see what happens. But I thought it was pretty good. I thought Ezra is he's all grown up. I thought his the end of this part of his story was done really well. I popped for the space whales. I enjoyed the visual a lot better than the helisabers coming back in the last episode to save everyone.
So, yep.
Dave Filoni picked the right sort of joked about thing to bring back. But I really enjoyed it. And I am surprised that I enjoyed the vagueness of the ending. Do you know what I mean? I did sort of put my fist down on wanting like definites on everyone. And I feel like definitely knowing who's alive and dead like help that. And the end bit with Ahsoka was really cool. I just watched it again then. Mm. And it's like, you know, I don't think I'm very emotionally tied to this series. Definitely not like the movies, but I thought that was pretty cool. Thought that was pretty cool. You know,
it told a good story about a bunch of characters who grew and contributed in their own way to the rebellion. And, you know, as we were talking about Santa, I just realized something. The one other, not only Helisabers didn't make an appearance, but the one person off the top of my head I would have liked to have seen again, AP-5. I don't recall seeing him at all.
Nah, I haven't. Has he been in it since he sang?
I think so, because they rescued him. Because he was singing about being free out among the stars, and then they rescued him. I'm sure they've had him in there since.
Don't know. I did. I'm hesitant to say too much about it at the moment, the finale, because we're going to take some calls, and I sort of want to bounce.
Okay.
Off. I don't want to like just. You know, I've got a sort of a few thoughts listed, and we'll see if the conversation sort of prompts them to be brought up.
Okay.
Did you get the? I haven't listened to much yet. I guess there's not much out. I listened to the Making Star Wars reaction, which was really good, and I watched Christian Harloff did an interview with Dave Filoni, which was pretty interesting. I'm not sure. Did you see that one, King Tom?
I did not. I watched Rebels Recon, and I listened to part of Making Star Wars, but I was also reading the Last Jedi novelization.
Ah, okay. Well, we'll talk about that in a little bit. But Filoni really sort of opened up about his sort of overseeing his characters. So if anyone's going to use his characters in another medium, it's sort of like you to get that okay by Dave Filoni, which I found pretty interesting. I don't think that's like a formal arrangement or anything, but it was kind of interesting how, because I one of the criticisms you could have of him is he does get a little bit too attached to these characters. It would seem.
Yeah.
In that their story.
I'm not sure how I feel about that.
About people
getting
in with him?
Yeah, or about him. He created them and he's told some great stories. And I do like having the creators have a say rather than the corporation. But at the same time, this is Star Wars, and I don't want someone to say, you know, 10, 15 years down the road, we want to do something with Sabine. Oh, gotta go check with Filoni. I don't think anyone should be married to. While I'm sure he can guide and use tone, I don't want him deciding everything that happens with that character at any point they are in future Star Wars. This probably wasn't what he was saying. Maybe it could be he gets the first crack at telling these stories in the future. Who knows? It's just a statement. I don't know what to think about yet.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, I don't think it's for the end of time. Like, who knows?
Right.
What, you know, if he'll go elsewhere or rise up in that, you know, he's promoted to a position where they have to ask him no matter what they do. Who knows? But I did enjoy finding out that that was his intent. And, you know, I kind of thought that the Ahsoka coming back at the end is... I feel like he's positioning his characters in places that he can work with them again later on.
Yes. Yeah.
Whether it maybe is in a live-action film and... You know, that's one of his ambitions, and he's sort of putting his pieces where they need to be to go, hey, we could do a thing about this. You know what I mean? Or it doesn't really... Like, I loved Ahsoka coming back, but, you know, if they, say, went with a cartoon about Sabine and her searching for Ezra, it doesn't jump out at me as, like, gotta see that, but... You know, it could be really good. I like any Star Wars that's going to veer off away from the expected. Because one thing that I did love, the Thrawn Ezra fight, because I was just like, who's going to die? Who's going to, I didn't think anyone was going to, there was going to be smoke blown and someone would roll away and escape. Like, I was like, this is the last episode. High stakes. And Ezra, you know, did get shot a little bit. Maybe the bit I dislike the most, partially just because it makes the rebels look like idiots in the previous episodes, was what's his name? Rook? Is that his name? Rook?
Rook. Yeah.
Like, why'd you just paint him and let him go?
Right.
That you know, you almost got killed because of that whole thing. And I think my surprise of the episodes was that I was pretty down with that wolf action.
Yeah, they have some fight in them.
Yeah, I never really got... I don't know, I sort of... I get a little bit sort of sensitive when it's... You know Dave Filoni loves the wolves so much. So he just keeps putting them in. And... It's like, I just find that it's a bit too much of, here's my personal brand for me, do you know what I mean? But,
yeah,
you know, because they had the wolf pack and then the wolves and stuff and in the show. But, yeah, that was pretty dope. I was into that fight. I for sure thought that Governor Price got her head bitten off or something in there. But I must say, disappointed to see that she still had her head.
Well, they needed her for some menace in the ship / building, whatever you want to call it.
The dome, bro. We got this city totally domed.
The dome. Yeah, the dome. I was surprised that they blew that up. Because if you think about, there were a lot of Imperials aboard it, and... It just seemed like it was something you'd see more in a movie than on Disney XD if you think about it. But at the same time, it was a good visual.
Yeah, I found the end of it quite cinematic. You know, of course you've got the, you know, the Return of the Jedi special edition sort of ending with the crowd shots and stuff. But yeah, I you know, the whole thing with Rex being at Endor, I was like, do you have to throw that in? Do you have to? It's, you know, like, for those that don't know, there's this guy called, what is he called? Saint Nick or something was his nickname. He's a...
Nick Fanny.
He looks like Norwegian sunburnt dude with a white beard that was a Endor rebel trooper. And his nickname was Nick Saint. As you know, for the customizable card game or whatever, and they've now retconned Maori played, Tamir Morrison, who played the clones, that his skin got so light that he now can be mistaken for Santa Claus in a forest. And that soured me a bit. It had been hinted at, and, and like the hinting kind of annoyed me. I'm sick of hints. Sick of pick a t-shirt, Filoni, wear one of them. And I did actually like that it wasn't, like, that's what I mean. Like, we know that Ahsoka's alive and Sabine's alive. Like, I like that. And Filoni said on that Rebels Recon that both Thrawn and Ezra did survive.
Yes, that I liked that. I was a little bit uncertain until hearing that, and that put me at ease a little bit, because I did not want Thrawn dying. I do like him as a character. I don't know that Rebels used him the best they could, but I did like the portrayal of him, and I'm glad to see that. I do wish Price would have lived too, because I think we need more Imperial personalities, but I'm glad at least Thrawn made it.
Yeah, but what are they going to be doing? Like once they hyperspace off, like, what are those two dudes going to get up to in the next 10 minutes?
I'm making friends with a bunch of tentacles, I guess.
Jeff Wood points out in the chat room, he said he liked in the Rebels Recon when they were talking about the only time you see a blue sky on Lothal was when the dome was launched. And I watched that again after watching that Rebels Recon, and yeah, that was really cool. Ignoring the fact that how did the pollution get cleaned up so quick, but symbolically,
well, there was also an ocean behind the dome, which I had never noticed before.
Yeah.
Or I think in that last shot when Sabine's looking over and it's more of a city, there's a blue swath of ocean behind it.
I even popped for the just the X-Wings flying over. I was like, yeah. X-Wings. Mm-hmm. How about we take some calls? If you're listening live, you can call in on 646-668-8360. If you're not in America, add +1 on Skype, and that will get you through quite easily. And we'd love to find out your high point and your low point of the finale. We'd like to know where you voted, if you did vote, or if you would have voted in my poll, if the finale was perfect, satisfying, disappointing, or I'm furious. And watch the language as well, you guys. You're normally pretty good, but a reminder right at the start, some excited Star Wars fans on the line. Let's go to 812, because I think maybe he had to bail early on, but from the Bad Motivators podcast, we've got Luke Cruiser on the line. How you doing, Luke?
Hey, Steel. Hey, Tom.
Hello, Cruiser.
What's going on, Luke?
Hello, Disney Steel.
Are you feeling sick, or are you been shattered by the Star Wars Rebels finale? Your voice doesn't seem as exuberant as normal.
Yeah, I'm a little under the weather. It was coming back, and now it's going away. It's troubling. It lasted till the very end of our show last night. It was awesome, but yeah.
All right, no problem.
Come on, man. but I gotta say, Tom, you should have hid your Disney shillism a little bit. You should have said you were satisfied, not perfect, with that last statement. You're gonna be called out, buddy.
I'm fine with being called out. I can handle it.
I was satisfied with it. That there was a lot of moments where I was like, eh, but then it kicked in with that wolf fight, and I was all in after that. That wolf fight really kicked it off. I was like, huh, we're really having people get mauled by giant beasts on a Y7 television show. That's pretty sweet. There was that one moment where two wolves picked up the stormtrooper, and I thought for a split second they were going to rip them apart. I'm like, really? It's about to happen. And then they, like, tag team threw him over the ledge. But I gotta say, Steele, I'm kind of surprised to hear that you were okay with your Ahsoka ending. I thought you were, when we were talking last week, that you would be bummed out if she didn't come back and then go out.
Yeah, I have an open mind, Luke. That's the thing. Okay. And if, you know, I always sort of say, like, I can't imagine, a good way to do it. But I don't know, like, it was a sweet, like, I got goosebumps when she came back. And there's this cool little sound effect when she hits her staff. Has anyone noticed that staff tapping on the ground sound effect? For some reason, I found that amazing.
Yeah, I kind of tweeted something about this earlier, the visual, because she had that white hood over her head and she was holding the staff. It reminded me of Indiana Jones and the Well of Souls with the Staff of Ra.
Yeah.
Just the way the light was coming in behind her. And I think she was used perfectly because it left you wanting so much more. And I think this is a great thing about Star Wars as it is now. This is a story they could tell us in any form at any time. You know, it could be the next animated series, or it could be something we get 5-10 years from now.
Yeah, yeah. I hope it's not the next thing, because...
Yeah, I doubt.
I just want to go do something different. Like, as much as I like the Ahsoka ending, it's like, kind of up for a break.
Mm-hmm.
But just to have a clean slate animation, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, do a different style of animation and different characters in a different time. Bring in maybe some old to tie it into the rest of the saga. But yeah, give these characters a break. They've earned a little vacation. They can celebrate the liberation of Lothal and then have them go looking for Ezra some other time.
Yeah. Hey Luke, did you have a low point? Did anything cross the line?
I don't know about cross the line, but I wanted to get your guys' opinion about this too. But I found that Palpatine scene weird. I don't know how I feel about it. I get the plot device point of it, to where it's meant to show Ezra moving on past, you know, his past and going forward, but I don't really. Didn't it feel kind of set up weird to you? Like, it just felt strange.
The what? Sorry,
I would.
The Sheev scene, the Palpatine scene, where he shows up in his white robes when he's the hologram.
Yeah, I actually like that. I wasn't really. I'm not 100% on what that door was that he was showing him and what the ramifications were of that, or
yeah.
It was just his trick to get him to go through it so he could go too, but he's only a hologram, so what's that going to do?
I was trying to wonder about the mechanics of that myself, whether it was really part of the temple and it would have teleported him to another time, or whether it was just Sith trickery. But no matter what, I think it was supposed to be trickery, you know, presenting this kindly, old, saintly looking fellow. And I also kind of wonder if, you know, Ian McDiarmid only would come back if they made him look good one last time, because he did look, you know, for a cartoon character, he did look good. But I do kind of go, I don't know whether the temple itself was real, but I think overall it was a test trickery for some reason to enslave Ezra, whether, you know, he was the only one who could open up these Jedi portals, or whether it was just to kind of get him off the map in a good way by giving him what he thinks he wants, but really is slavery to Darth Sidious. I don't know what it was, and I think that's, you know, we can interpret that a bunch of ways. I liked the scene, though, even if I'm not 100% sold, or if I don't know exactly what it was.
Yeah, I didn't hate what it represented, you know? Like, I know what it means to Ezra as a character, but just the overarching point, was it just like a point to do that with Ezra and then shove a little bit more in McDermott in there or something. Like, it just because what is the end? What is the end goal? What does she get out of that? What does he? What, like, you know? Because I mean, he could have just had Thrawn kill Ezra.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, he could have been this, been Anya dead. He didn't have his lightsaber. He had turned himself in. He was surrounded by stormtroopers. They could have just 21 gun saluted him and been gone. I don't really, that's the only thing that was kind of weird for me. It doesn't really matter in the long run, but that's the one thing that stands out to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Ezra did some good Jedi-ing this episode. He had some good powers. And
yeah.
Just some ripping action scenes. Like, as an episode, it was pretty damn good. Anything else to finish up? To finish up on there, Luke Cruiser.
No, got nothing else, man. Thanks for doing this.
My pleasure, man. And I'll talk to you soon.
See you later,
guys.
Cheers. And you can hear Luke Cruiser. He's on the Bad Motivators podcast. With Dallas Wood and Eric Struthers, who edited the little Mendo remix and does a lot of sound stuff for House behind the scenes and in front of the scenes. He's all over the scenes. But go check out the Bad Motivators, as they'll be yabbering about the Rebels finale as well.
Their new episodes are out. I was going to say their new episodes are out Wednesday, so it should be tomorrow morning.
Well, there you go. Very timely, if you're listening to this tomorrow. This weekend, if you're in LA, we've got the Star Wars Rebels finale reaction, 10th of March, 3:30 p.m. at the Scum and Villainy Cantina. Tickets are available at steelwars.com, $10 advance or $12 on the door. And already on the lineup to discuss the finale of Rebels, we have got Jenny Nicholson, the hilarious YouTube personality who's been on the show a few times. Troops creator Kevin Rubio, who also said he's got an announcement for the show. So who doesn't like announcements? We've got from the Rogue Rebels, and now this is podcasting, Sal Perales, huge Rebels fan and Kanan cosplayer. We've got Geek Girl Diva that writes the highlight articles for StarWars.com, myself. And another guest or two will be on that one. So if you're in LA, come down, because they are super fun to watch. And then before and after, it's cool hanging out with everyone as well. Let's keep the calls going. And let's go to Nicholas, 706. How you doing, buddy?
Not doing too bad still, but nobody calls me Nicholas but my mom. It's Nick.
Nicholas, I've got huge news for you. I am your mother.
Well, there you go. Well, I guess you can get away with it. Yeah, I guess you can get away with it. It's a real big honor to get to talk to you and King Tom as well. After Luke Cruiser, because King Tom and Johnny P. Schwartz, they're the ones who got me to email in a bit of voicemail content to the Bad Motivators, and Luke Cruiser and Dallas and Eric were kind of my gateway to finding and enjoying the massive universe of Steel Wars. So, quite great. Thank you very much.
Very cool. Thank you. Now, what would you vote for on my Twitter poll?
I actually voted on the Twitter poll that the episode ended up perfect. I don't know how it could have ended any better. And that may be a failure of imagination on my part, but it avoided some things I didn't want to see, and it gave me some answers that I kind of wanted to have, and I just tied a nice bow around everything.
Nice. So anything sort of flare up that you didn't like, or you're totally on board?
I have to say Luke hit the nail on the head. The entire scene in the Star Destroyer with Ezra and Palpatine felt out of place. If we'd had a bit more information, a little bit more context and what Palpatine's end game was with trying to trick Ezra into that temple.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It would have helped, but that was the really only low point for me. And as far as a high point goes, it had to be that moment with Gregor and Rex, where Gregor told him, it's an honor to fight for something that we chose, something that we believe in. And I'm a huge Clone Wars fan. So to see the clones really being given an opportunity to make their choice and fight their way for their choice, it just gave those guys a send-off that I really felt like they deserved.
Yeah, that was a really cool end, and that was quite a poignant little line, the being able to fight for something that we actually believed in or chose to fight for. That was really, really cool. Did you guys pick up on the Sector GL-44? Is that something that's in the zeitgeist already?
I heard GL, and then there was another reference right before that. I didn't get the 44 until I saw on Twitter someone said he was born in 1944. But there was another reference that I thought was kind of similar right before that.
I just guessed. Sorry, I was saying I don't know as trivia that he's born in 1944, but I just went, he must be born in 1944, because otherwise that is a very weird Easter egg. But what was the other one that you knew about, Tom?
I don't remember off the top of my head. It was said like right before that when they were in space they were talking about the hyperspace lanes and the clearance codes. I wish I could remember now.
It was the Edmund Fitzgerald. It was EF-75. It was a writer's shout-out to the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, which sunk on the lakes in 75.
Get out of my head, Nick. That was it.
Yeah. Sorry, dude. Listen, I think that you figured out through our interactions on Twitter, dude, we're sharing a brain, I think. Could just jump in and add one more thing. The Bendu's... his prediction or his sight into the future of, I see your defeat wrapping around you like many arms for Thrawn. It's kind of how he went out. They just swapped arms for tentacles. So that was kind of cool to see that, to see what the Bendu had told Thrawn come to pass in the very end. So, and I'm a sucker for Ahsoka, and seeing her show up with that antique Jedi shuttle looking like Gandalf the White, that was just good business, in my opinion.
I'll be honest. The first overhead pass of it.
Was that an antique jet like shuttle? It looked like the exact same ship that landed with the two X-wings.
Okay, yeah, that ship looked like a throwback from the Clone Wars. Looks like one of the ships that Sifo Dyas apparently crashed in when Plo Koon found his saber in that last couple of seasons of the Clone Wars. I could be wrong.
And didn't Ventress fly something like that?
I think she did. I do think she did, yeah.
When it first came down, the first few seconds when we just saw the fin, I thought it was one of, like, the Resistance bombers from The Last Jedi. And then they pulled out and showed the whole thing. I'm like, it's one of those things.
Yes. And I have to just, on a personal note, hit this real quick. This has been, like, a baller Star Wars, like, 3 or 4 day period for me because... I found the Last Jedi novelization on the shelf Saturday in the same town that I saw my first Star Wars movie on the theater. It was out early. They had no explanation for it. It was in the used book section, and I got it. And I actually had read the entire thing, and wow, holy crap. King Tom, you're going to enjoy that. Just can't wait.
I'll finish
about
it.
That later. Yeah, okay, you finished
it. I finished it this afternoon.
Is it not beyond legit?
It's very, very good.
Yeah, and also, like I told Steele earlier, he had his fanboy moment getting to talk to Mendo, and I get mine talking to you guys. So, cheers. I do appreciate it.
The you've really downgraded. It's a real shame, Nicholas.
To be fair, you guys are celebrities. I mean, I do live in.
Not me.
Yeah, well, I recognize myself each and every morning, so it's very exciting. Nick, thanks so much for calling in, man. Do not be a stranger.
Absolutely. Thanks for the opportunity. Take care.
My pleasure. Let's go to 5 at 5, and I believe it's Sam Scorsone. How you doing, Sam?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Hey, King Khan. Hey, Sam.
Nice to talk to you finally. What did you vote for in the Twitter poll there, Sam?
Well, my first reaction was disappointment, so I voted for the disappointing.
Okay, what left you disappointed? Okay.
And it wasn't so much that, you know, anything with the episode. It was just not getting, for me at the time when I first watched it, was not really getting any closure for any of the characters. It was sort of like, okay, now we got to wait to see what novel comes out. Is it going to be another show, or, you know, what's going on? And I didn't have that sense of closure that I thought I would get. But as the day, because I watched it this morning, and as the day went on, you know, I was getting excited about, you know, what's coming down the line, you know, like the future of stories and stuff like that. So later on, I felt like I really liked the episode and where I left things, but initially I was disappointed.
Yeah, I guess, you know, I definitely wanted closure, but if anything, they sort of came up with more adventures to go on, like the whole search.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I liked it more than I thought I would in, like, if someone just had told me this is what happens, the way it was done was pretty good. Pretty good. I tell you what I love. And that was the Callus wrap-up story.
Yeah.
That hit me a little bit. That hit me a little bit. I'm not sure why I was so caught up in the Callus thing, but I thought that was really nice. It's such a new convention for Star Wars, but kind of like the end of the high school adventure, you know, comedy film where they say what happened to everyone after college or after high school. I did not expect that in a Star Wars bit of media. How about you guys?
I'm just glad that it was narrated and you not you know, having to read it off the bottom of the screen. Again, Animal House, I think it is.
Yes. What was your highlight, Sam?
My highlight was actually when Thrawn starts firing down on Lothal, because I felt like that was really the first time we really got to see how awful the Empire is and how sinister Thrawn is. I felt like that was the moment where he was winning, in a way, because his plans are always like, they've got away, and just as I thought, you know, like, and that was really his, like, moment of, you know, really sticking it to him, you know what I mean? He had outplayed them, and you see, like, the devastation of that, and, you know, like, what the people running, and I was a high point because I hadn't seen that or was expecting to see something like that, and especially on Rebels.
Yeah, I think the way the battle swayed, we've trapped them all in here, and then Thrawn's like, well, now I can bombard them safely. And
exactly.
Then it switched around again. I thought that was pretty cool.
I think
what is up with the underside of Thrawn's ship? That giant mural thing, you can just lose that. It just seems like Remember in when the Clone Wars, when they had the those battleship things and just like repaint them every year so Hasbro could put out a different version? It just felt like they're just painting it for, so it looks, so you know this is the different one. Or so, I don't know. It didn't do it for me. Say again?
Maybe that's his version of, you know, like some people put lights under their cars. Maybe that's his version of, you know.
Just wait until he turns up the bass.
Yeah. Well, and I was just looking at it, and I'm just like, let's think about how hard it would be. Like, how aren't those things? It's a 16 kilometer long mural, if I'm not mistaken. It just seems like a lot of work.
Yeah, a lot of paint. But I think that's the Superstar Destroyer. I think that those Star Destroyers are like 1 mile or a kilometer and a half or something.
Oh, okay. All right.
Either way, it's a lot of paint.
I just know the Snoke 160 because we've gotten a lot of heat over that on Now's podcasting. Yeah. So, Sam, do you have any parting Rebel thoughts?
Not really hearing people talk about the red guards that ran in, and had, Ezra all jacked up. Not really seeing people freak out about that. I was wondering if those were a variant of the Imperial guards, and if those Imperial guards, you know, cause I always wonder like, what would they do against Vader? Like Vader, like they had that, those kind of weapons to like, kind of force hold somebody, then they really could be, you know, really do something against someone like Vader. I always wondered, you know, no one's really talking about that I've seen what those red guards were all about. I was wondering what you guys thought about them.
Well, I took it that it was sort of just the Royal Guard without his cloak, a la Crimson Empire. It looked very similar to how they were. Crimson Empire was a comic book series by Dark Horse, I believe, maybe in the late 90s. There was Crimson Empire, then yeah. Crimson Empire 2. And, yeah, you got to see them sort of train without their cloaks on. And I believe maybe it was the Episode 1 Royal Guard. Or was that Episode 2? But I think that the underneath, they had the exact same as a little Easter egg. They had the underneath the cloak. And they may have actually just brought them out as the Crimson Empire figures later on in a comic pack. But, Tom?
I thought they were Royal Guards, maybe like Junior Royal Guards or a different class, and they were probably aboard the Star Destroyer to watch over and protect the Jedi Temple. Because it was, you know, so closely tied to the Emperor. So he figured maybe he'll put some of his guards there to protect the temple, but also apprehend Ezra if necessary, and it ended up being necessary.
So very necessary.
Okay, what do you guys think of Jason Syndulla?
I hate the name. That was one of the things that I didn't like about the episode. Sorry for cutting you off if you weren't meant to go steal, but the name really rubbed me the wrong way. I don't see where it came from. I thought he should have been called something else. Maybe Caleb? Or yeah, something after his father. But I mean, Jason is a nod to the EU, but there's no reason to use that name then and there.
Yeah, I don't know. I sort of, like, what does that set up for the future? I don't know. I kind of thought you could have just wrapped. I don't know. I guess it's good that she had this happy, you know, the birth after, you know, I guess it's uplifting for her because that she lost everything, that she has the child. So was she pregnant during Rogue One? What's going on there? Is she fighting in this big battle pregnant?
Maybe that's why she wasn't in the... Oh, well, she was in the Ghost. I was thinking she wasn't in a Starfighter, but she was in the Ghost. Good question.
Well, when Well, no, like there was a little moment where
maybe Twilights have longer gestation periods.
Oh God, here we go. Damn.
Just
there was
idea.
A moment in the. There was a moment when Ezra was talking to his parents out loud, and she puts her hand on her stomach when Hera was listening.
Oh.
Yeah, so she must have known then.
Ah. The but yeah, I thought the Jason thing, I don't know. I don't really care, but I would
love the idea. Already, I hate the name.
Yeah, Jason Ward is pretty happy with it. He thinks it means something different.
He's already being speculated to be a knight of Ren, and you know, all that kind of stuff, which kind of goes back to my disappointed feeling. Was just like, okay, now we're gonna have 18 months of, you know, is Ezra going to be in episode 9? Is Ahsoka going to show up? Did Luke train Jason? And all that kind of stuff. So that was, and so that's, I was not looking forward to that kind of stuff, but it'd be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's what we do.
It's funny that drive. Yeah. It's funny that drive that as soon as there's a child, it's like, oh, it's them now. And yeah, I've seen the Knights of Ren thing, and I don't know. Is that like something that you hope is going to happen? I hope a baby turns evil and kills everyone. That'd be great. Like, you're not really rooting for the characters. You're just rooting for the connections.
Well, that's what happened with Jason Solo, right? I never read the books, but that's what I've gathered from people talking, was that sort of Jason Solo, something happens with him that might be similar, and that's sort of going dark.
He becomes a major villain, Lord of the Sith, leader of the Empire, and menace to galactic peace and justice in the EU.
Yeah.
In the EU.
My little episode 9 theory.
But, go for it, Sam.
No, I was just going to say, as far as episode 9 theories go, I was speculating if he does, if that Jason character does go bad, if he's Snoke's secret apprentice. Because he would have that familiarity with all the groups, and he would have that tie-in with Ben Solo. You know, they'd be about the same age, I guess. So, you know, they may even be friends. So maybe,
yeah, I don't know if,
maybe he introduces him to Snoke.
JJ
or,
Abrams. Yeah,
I don't see it happening, but that's...
Yeah. It's an interesting idea.
I feel like you really test my patience there, Sam, but I've been in such unexpectedly good spirits today, and you're just like poking the bear. I know what you're doing, but...
I'll see myself out.
Good to talk to you, Sam. Thanks for calling in.
All right,
cheers, all right. Mate. Alrighty. So we're about at the end of the main show. If you are on hold, stay there because we will probably be able to get to your call in the bonus section for patrons. And how that works is we have amazing listeners that chip in $3 every month to continue the production of the podcast. And as a bonus, they get an exclusive RSS feed with ad-free shows. Our entire archive, the bonus shows section that we're about to do on all our shows, and special supporter exclusive shows like the Robbo Report and Making Steel Wars. And I've got to tell you, King Tom, that Robbo, he's keen to talk about this finale. He has been hitting me up, so we're going to be doing that before the end of the week.
Okay, looking forward to hearing it. Those are
very
good shows.
Very cool. So we are going to go, well, I'm seeing if we've got any other things to talk about before we go. What about that Ugnaught, Tom? Loved him. Loved the Ugnaught.
Yeah, I liked him a lot better than his previous appearances. I don't know why. And just the whole Hondo and their whatever they have going on, I just found that very entertaining. But then again, I'm a sucker for Hondo.
Yeah, I thought Hondo was pretty good in this episode, and his love of whatever that little Ugnaught was, like, and this is the thing with the show. It was, I found the whole thing to be pretty exceptional. It was, you know, the action scenes, the music, the visuals were stunning. And
yes,
you know, there was this thing where the Ugnaught got shot, and he sort of did a bit of a, I don't know, a pirouette or something before flopping on the ground. And I was sort of like, all right, this show, you know, you've been so good. Like, this episode's so good. I can give you out your goofy little fall-over death. Like, I can bend that way because you're doing some good stuff for me over here. So I appreciate that. But then it turned out he wasn't there anyway.
Well, what did you think about when he went flying and landed on the window, the sunroof, or whatever it's called?
Yeah, I sort of found that a little bit. Zeb should be in the Olympics, or at least, you know, like a midget tossing tournament or something, because he can lob those little guys pretty far. Yeah, and that was, I don't know, that's something that you just have to go, yeah, okay, whatever. You're watching Disney XD.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that music. That the bright lights. I was watching it like, I'm really gonna miss this. I'm really gonna miss it. I thought there was some weird with The Last Jedi, a few little, both they had a thing where they were looking through you know, a window to their family, which was interesting. And both the finale and The Last Jedi had telephone pranks.
Yes, they did.
So
didn't pick up on that, but yes, they did.
Yeah, it's interesting how these things, it's often strange little tie-overs, like even with like blindness, like between, you know, films that are getting worked on and Star Wars Rebels. And what do you make in retrospect of Kanan's blindness? I kind of think it was such nothing. I think it affected him for 20 minutes of screen time.
Right. It didn't. Other than, yeah, maybe those 20 minutes and his appearance looking at him, he was still able to do the Jedi things. And I understand, okay, you say he could, it's using the Force that let him do that, but he didn't come off to me as a blind character. And not that, and I'm not blind, so all I've seen are, you know, the blind people I know or what I see in TV and movies, but it really didn't hamper him as a character at all.
Let me get this straight, Tom. You're explaining what you've seen of blind people. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
It's just, there's a disconnect between that and what we saw of Kanan is what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I swear that it was like only a couple of times that you would realize he's blind. Like, I know he has a sweet mask, but tons of sweet masks in Star Wars, you know?
I didn't like the mask. I liked the bandage they put over his eyes in that one scene, but the mask just ruined it for me.
Okay. I didn't mind it. But before we go to the bonus show, I think they did a pretty good job at at wrapping it up. You know, of course, not what I would have done, but it put people in the right place, that all the things that Yoda said made sense, which is, I was very happy about. But
And it ended on a high note.
Yeah. So after all the bumps, I think we got left with a pretty good last few episodes. The last half of the season was really good, don't you think?
Yeah.
All righty, King Tom. Where can the good people of the internet track you down, buddy?
On Twitter at Tom Chansky, and occasionally, or more than occasionally, contributing emails and voicemails to some of the better Star Wars and geek-related podcasts out there. But Twitter's probably the best place.
Very cool. Now, for those that aren't Patreon supporters, this is going to be the last call-in show for a few weeks because I'll be back in Australia, but we're going to come back most likely to Monday nights, and if you're in America. And it'll be a slightly different format, but you'll still be able to call and Skype in, and I think it will be a great step up, both in definitely in sound quality, because this blog talk, we've found a way now to record the guests differently. The callers will still be brutal on their phones, but we'll be able to pick up the pace on the people actually as the co-hosts. So stick around for that. And if you haven't already, make sure you listen to that Ben Mendelsohn episode. It was super fun to do. And if you're on hold, we will get you in 2 seconds as we go into that bonus show. Take us there, Ben Mendelsohn. I love it when he just talks. What do you think about that, Tom?
I found myself dancing even more than usual.
Who have we got on the line next? See, I think this is a Skype call, so let's take this. On Skype or a private number, who are you and where are you calling from?
This is Jeff Wood. I'm on the chat room too.
Hello, Jeff. You've got a very soothing voice. Have you ever been told that?
I've got a very what?
Soothing.
Oh, thanks. Well, my podcast listeners think that too, I think.
What podcast are you from, Jeff?
Oh, it's a transportation podcast called Talking Headways, but it's not Star Wars related, so it's not necessarily related.
there's some transportation in Star Wars.
Hey, get to your
transport. Yeah, actually. Yeah.
The first transport is away.
That's true. That's true. There's also on Coruscant. There's tons of really cool mass transit options. So that's something that I'd love to talk about in the future, but we'll get there eventually.
No. So where did you vote for on my Twitter poll, or where would you have voted?
Well, I voted satisfying because it wasn't, I don't think it was the best episode of the series, but I think it was satisfying. It wasn't like the best of the best. I think actually the World Between Worlds one before that topped it. And I think after that one, we had a little bit of a expectation drop, or I had an expectation drop because I know finales are something that's a little hard to do, but that World Between Worlds episode, I think I really got into, but this one was satisfying. I liked it. You know, what you guys asked for the high points and low points for, I think the high point for me was probably seeing, you know, Ahsoka the White. I know that Filoni's a big Lord of the Rings fan, so I think that's probably what he was pointing towards. The wolf fight was really great that you guys talked about earlier. And I did appreciate also, and somebody I think said this on another podcast, but you know, there was no like biting into the stormtroopers. It was just them throwing stormtroopers over the edge of the cliff over and over and over again.
If you're like me and you want to check out as many quality voices in Star Wars fandom as possible, check out the Making Star Wars podcast network at makingstarwars.net. Not only is makingstarwars.net the home for the hottest news and rumors in the Star Wars universe, but they have also got a top shelf podcast network. Now this is podcasting. Rebel Girl, the Cantina Cast, Blue Harvest, the Rogue One, a podcast for winners. The Sith List, Podcast 2187, Tarkin's Top Shelf, The Idiot's Array. All available on iTunes or makingstarwars.net. Just hit the podcast network button.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.